I'll be reading today from Matthew 7, chapters 24 through 27. And if you would like to follow with me on the screen above or in your bulletin or your Bible, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Would you join me in prayer? God, we ask as we come together during this time, as we just explore your word a little bit more, that you'd be with us. You'd give us a sense of peace and just be over all the words that are said here. God, we ask that we can just learn a little bit more about you and we can grow in our faith so that we can build this firm foundation that can withstand the storms of life. And now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be a pleasing offering to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I feel like there's a lot of different aspects of my job being the youth director. There's teaching, there's leading games, there's going on retreats. But one I didn't really expect, but I found has been super important, has been keeping up with pop culture. By knowing what's the latest and greatest social media trends, television shows, and memes, I feel like I can create this common ground between myself and the youth. It's also helped me keep up with the newest slang so that when a youth says something, I understand what he's saying. So for example, when a youth says to me that his fam threw him shade when he flexed that Fortnite was the GOAT, I get what he's saying. And for those of you who don't speak millennial, that means that his friend got upset with him when he claimed that this video game was the greatest of all time. And in case you're wondering, I am releasing Rosetta Stone Millennial here very soon, so keep your eyes open for that. If you want to learn how to speak millennial, that'll be good. But in keeping up with pop culture, I've noticed in the last several years, there's been a rise in what I like to call fail videos. They're like the TV show America's Funniest Home Videos, but they're primarily on YouTube. And how it kind of works, these fail videos, they're where someone's about ready to do something that looks really dumb. Like someone's gonna run and jump over this really tall fence. And you think to yourself, yeah, this is not gonna go well. And then amazingly, it somehow goes worse than what you thought. Like this person's running, go over this fence, and they trip and they fall and they smack their face against the board before they even get to the fence. And I think people enjoy these videos sometimes because they let us know we're not the only ones who do dumb things. And that's a big comfort to me because, let's face it, I could have my own fail highlight reel. And as I'm talking, one particular dumb moment comes to mind. It happened several years ago when I was in middle school and my brother was in high school. So we borrowed our parents' minivan and we're running errands across town. And my brother, he didn't quite negotiate a turn super well and he clipped a light post. Basically took a lot of the paint off the front end of our parents' minivan. And we go, what are we gonna do? Like mom and dad, they're gonna be super upset. Like we're getting in trouble. And we get the really good idea, why don't we just take care of it ourselves, right? Like it's just some paint that got chipped off. How hard could it be to fix? And so we go to Walmart, we buy some paint, and we go to fixing the car. The problem is it had gotten a little bit dark outside, so we couldn't exactly see what we're doing. But we kind of just like spray blindly and pray that it's all gonna work out. So we take the car home and we go to bed pretty happy with ourselves, with this belief that, you know, we had taken the easy route, we had figured an easy way out of this problem, and we didn't have to tell our parents what had actually happened. Well, the next morning, that belief was quickly shattered. We wake up to our parents frantic, and we can't hear a lot of what they're saying, it's kind of mumbled, but this one phrase comes in crystal clear. Someone has vandalized our car. See, not surprisingly, we didn't match up the paint. 100%. And so it looked like someone had vandalized the front end of our minivan. So we eventually had to tell our parents what happened. My brother and I, we thought we were being smart. We thought we were taking the easy route of fixing the van ourselves instead of telling our parents. But because we didn't think through the consequences, we actually made a huge mistake. And that's why when I hear stories of someone doing something foolish, I can relate to them. I can relate to the guy who built his house on sand. He, like my brother and I, he took the easy route and he didn't foresee the consequences. Just think about this with me for a second here. Rock is harder than sand. And I know what you're thinking, like, Keith, how did you come up with this sparkling insight? Like, my mind is blown, Keith, tell me more. But I know it's a startling discovery, but bear with me here. So sand, it's really easy to work with, right? You know, I can just put my hand in, pick it up. If I get a shovel here, I can move it around, no problem. If I wanted to stick a board or something into it, real easy, stands up by itself. Rock, on the other hand, rock's a lot harder, right? If I wanted to like shovel into it, not gonna work, right? I can't put something into it on its own. I have to drill it, I have to work a lot harder. Sand, it's a lot easier to place something in sand than it is in rock. So I imagine with this parable, the one builder thinks to himself, I've discovered a great idea, which is gonna save me a lot of time. I'll build my house in the sand because it's a lot easier to put everything into it. And I'll build my foundation on it. That's what he does. And he builds his house in record time. He gets done, puts in the foundation, builds his house on top of it. He gets out a hammock, and he just relaxes on the beach. In a couple days, I imagine, he looks over and he sees his neighbor. The guy is building his house on the rock. And this guy, he's sweating. He's been working day in, day out, drilling, digging to set that foundation, to make sure his house is rooted, connected to the rock. And after a long construction project, the man who built his foundation on the rock, he's done. And in the short run, it would seem the guy who built his house on sand, that he made a better decision because his construction project was easier. It took less time. He didn't have to put in as much work. But in the long run, we see what really happens. We see the consequences and who made the better decision. The storm comes and the house built on sand that falls, but the one on the rock stays standing. The wise man, he put in the time, he put in the effort to ensure that his home was connected to a secure foundation. The foolish man, on the other hand, he just built his house on a flexible foundation. He took the easy route and he didn't think through what that implied. And because of that, when the storm came, his house went down with a great crash. And when others make mistakes, it's really simple to say, boy, what were they thinking? Keith, what were you thinking painting a car in the dark? Didn't you know that was a bad idea? Foolish man, what were you thinking building your house on sand? Didn't you realize that was pretty silly? But I think if we're honest, a lot of us would say we make the same mistakes. We take the path of least resistance, and we don't always think of the consequences. So many people, they build their purpose, their meaning, their identity, themselves, on things like this, on shifting sand. And I think they do that because it's a lot easier. Some people, their whole life is built on their career. That's how they view themselves. That's how they find their identity. And this foundation, it seems easy to build on. After all, the workplace is where we spend a lot of time. It's how a lot of people naturally see us, so why not just make that the central part of who we are? Others, they build their life on praise. They sink their meaning into achievements, success, what other people think of them. And they say, well, since others think of me in a certain way, maybe that should be the primary way I think of myself. Maybe that's what I should build my self-esteem on. And still others build their whole life on relationships. Their identity is tied up to who they're dating or who they're friends with or how successful their children or grandchildren are. These are the people we interact with, so it seems natural to build our sense of self on them. And it's easy to build ourselves on these things, these people that play a huge part in our lives, to build ourselves on things like this. But building ourselves on God, on Jesus, on something like this, well, that can be a bit more challenging. First, because we got to know what God and Jesus are like. We got to pray. We got to read our Bible. And then when we find out what God and Jesus are like, they ask us to do some really difficult things sometimes. We got to, like, love our enemies. We got to give money to other people. We got to abstain from certain behaviors. And then they ask us to do something really challenging, like go to church and hear that boring youth pastor preach. Like, really tough stuff. And it can seem like a lot of work. It can seem easier to build our lives on something other than God. But then the storms of life come, and everyone encounters these storms, hardships which can come from a variety of places. Sometimes they come because we've made bad decisions. Sometimes they come because of other people's poor choices. Sometimes they're a test from God or a temptation from the evil one. And sometimes they just come about from our broken world. And the question is not whether we'll face storms. Everyone encounters difficulties. The question is whether what we've built will stand in the storms. And I got to tell you, the stuff built on this, stuff built on sand, that's going to fall. Your career might be an amazing thing, but at some point, you're not going to have your job anymore. I can say with 100% certainty, everyone will leave their job eventually. Either they'll retire, they'll get fired, or they'll quit. And if your career is what you've built yourself on, then when you eventually do transition out of your job, your life will come crashing down. Achievements, awards, other people's praise, they're a great part of life, and they can be really encouraging. But other people's opinions on us, that changes. We may make a mistake, we may fail, and all that praise will be gone in an instant. And if that's what we build ourselves on, then our foundation is gone in an instant. Relationships can be so enriching and rewarding, can be such a blessing. But people, whether they want to or not, will leave us. You might have an argument that causes a rift. You might grow apart over time. You might move away. Someone might pass on to the next life. And if your base is your relationships with others, then these changes will shake you to the core. It will cause your life to come crashing down. But you see, Jesus and his words, they're the rock because he doesn't change. He remains steady in the storms. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There's not a day that Jesus will go, you know what, I really like that person yesterday, but today, they're just not cutting it, so I'm going to leave. There's not a day where Jesus will say, you know, that person is really disappointing me, so I'm not going to help them out anymore. There's not a day where Jesus will say, that person doesn't deserve my love anymore because they've made a mistake. We change. Our circumstances change. But God doesn't. In Romans 8, one of the richest chapters of the Bible, Paul states this exact point. He says this, in everything, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither principalities nor powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God as found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul states, nothing can take God's love away from us. Yeah, we'll be hit with storms. We might get shaken a little bit. But with God as our bedrock, that foundation will hold true and we'll stay standing. So point number one, when our lives are built on God, they can withstand the storms. Point number two, when our lives are built on God, they can hold more. So I want you to imagine something here with me. Let's say for that opening illustration about the car and painting in the dark, I really wanted to give you all a visual of that. And so I got a minivan, I brought it in, I got a big crane in here, and I set it right here on the stage. What do you think would happen? What do you think would happen? Stage would probably collapse. I'm no engineer, but I'm fairly confident this stage would not hold up a car. It can hold a lot. You can hold the piano, can hold the speakers, can hold all the stuff I put up here, can hold me after I've eaten all those Oreos. But, you know, holding a car, that's something the stage was not designed to do. And I shouldn't expect the stage to hold a van because it wasn't built to do that. It wasn't built to hold something that heavy. And this is a problem I often see people make in life. They mistake what things are built to hold. Here's what I mean by that. Earthly possessions, they can be a great thing. They can give us a lot of happiness. They can let us bless other people. There's so much good what we can do with what we have. But expecting our money, our belongings, to get rid of our worries, that just doesn't work. Your possessions weren't meant to hold your peace. Peace is something that is too heavy for our money to keep up. Human relationships are an amazing thing. We can find a lot of community and belonging with other people. But our sense of self, that can't solely be found in interactions with others. And trying to build who you are on your relationships, that just doesn't work because other people weren't meant to hold your identity. Promotions and awards, those are great things, but they're not designed to hold our self-esteem. Entertainment can be really great. I like watching Netflix as much as the next guy. But our purpose in life isn't entertainment, and a foundation built on that will crumble. So many people wonder why their peace collapses when they build it on possessions, why their identity falls apart when they place it on other people, why their promotions and awards buckle under their self-esteem, why entertainment can't sustain purpose. It's because these things weren't built to hold the weight of our peace, self-esteem, identity, purpose. Just as this stage can't sustain the weight of a car, the things of this world can't sustain some of the bigger aspects of life. Possessions, relationships, jobs, entertainment, these are good things, but there are just some things they weren't built to hold. Here's a blessing, though. There's something or someone we can place everything on, someone who can hold the weight of our whole life, and that's God. He's the bedrock we can build on. Just look at some of these scripture passages here. John 14, 27. Peace is what I leave you. It is my peace that I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not be worried and upset, and do not be afraid. Jesus says, you want peace? Then build your life on me. Next scripture, Psalm 16, 11. You make known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. God says, you want joy? Then make me your bedrock. John 4:14. Whoever drinks the water I give to them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You want fulfillment? God says, I can provide you with that. John 10:10, one of my favorite scripture passages. Jesus says, I have come so that they may have life and have it to the fullest. You want the fullest and richest experience? Then build your life on God, because he can uphold your joy, your peace, your hopes, your fulfillment, your love. God won't crumble under the weight we place on him. A life built on the foundation of God is one that can hold all the richest and best things. A life built on the foundation of God is the one that can hold all the richest and best things. Third and final point. It's never too late to build our lives on God. So this last point, if you've tuned out, tune back in. This is super important. Never too late to build our lives on God. There's probably some of us that are sitting in here that we recognize we've made a mistake. We build our identity, our purpose, our peace, ourselves on sand. And perhaps the storm has rushed in and torn apart everything we've built. Or maybe we placed too much on something that wasn't designed to hold that. We put our joy or fulfillment or self-worth in our job, possessions, and our lives just collapsed under the weight. For whatever reason, some of us in here find ourselves in shambles. We feel dejected, broken down, defeated. And this is a difficult spot to be in. I don't want to make light of that. If you find yourself in this place, then ask for help. Meet with one of our people back there in the service. They'd love to pray with you, love to talk to you. Schedule an appointment with Pastor Scott. Talk to your home group. There are opportunities to help us move out of this difficult place if we find ourselves there. And in addition to that, let me offer you this encouragement. A life in ruins doesn't have to mean a ruined life. A life in ruins doesn't have to mean a ruined life. Sometimes when life falls apart, it gives us the opportunity to build something better in its place. When you reach the lowest point, that just means you've gotten to the foundation. and you can start rebuilding on something more secure. You can build on the rock. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Lord and Creator, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for this opportunity that we can come together and just worship you. God, as we come here, we acknowledge that you are the rock that we can build our lives on. You are that secure foundation that whatever storms come to us in life, that we can put our trust and our hope in you. God, thank you so much that you offer to carry the weight of our entire lives. We can place all the good things on you, but also all the challenging things, all of our fears, all of our doubts, all of our insecurities. God, you can uphold those things too. We thank you so much that we can cast our cares on you because you care for us. God, we ask if there's anyone in here that's struggling, anyone in here that feels like their foundation is unsure, feels like their home has fallen apart. God, we ask that you would give them the strength to ask for help, that you give them the strength to rebuild so that they can have a life that is full and enriching. We thank you so much that you're God who hears our requests. We thank you so much that you're here with us now. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.